So we come today to a new book, a new time, for some maybe a new topic, for some one that goes back a few days, a few years, for some a few centuries. When we think about this word, the gospel, if you have your Bibles with you this morning or you have your phone app ready to go, I invite you to open up to the book of Galatians. The first chapter in the book of Galatians. Galatians is a book written to the people of Galatia. Love how the titles kind of give us a clue in there. And we're going to see as Paul begins to write to these people that he loves, to the people that he cares for, to the church that he's invested in. And in a way, to us today, we see the gospel message throughout Galatians. So, we begin. Galatians chapter 1, starting with the first verse, it says, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we already said, so now I say it again. If anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. There's a word that's used over and over again in these verses, and a word that has been used a few times already in the service today. It's this word, gospel. Now, I don't know if sitting here today you already have a shelf laid out that says gospel in it. For some of you, if you have come to Sunday school for a long time, maybe you have certain sections of the Bible laid out that are the Gospels, that you have a section of those. But if I were to ask you today to turn to the Gospel, where would you turn? Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Good answer. Good answer. Any other ones? Bible. You looked at my notes, didn't you? I would venture to say, as you're saying there, Joy, if you hold up this book, you're looking at the gospel. The gospel has its climax in who Jesus is. This book, if you took out Jesus from it, would not be the gospel. But with Jesus in, with Jesus coming down, with the message that we aren't alienated as we used to be, that is the gospel. The gospel goes from Genesis all the way to Revelation because the gospel is the story of God redeeming his people back to him. The gospel is the fact that God had a plan, that God worked out a way from the way that people were broken, from the way that people were deserted, from the way that people had fallen away, from the way that God had to work through a people, that he had to love and stay faithful to a people who so often turned from him. But in the end, we see Jesus, and that's what makes it the gospel. In the end, we see a king coming down among his people. In the end, we see a perfect Savior coming to serve. We see a death that ended in life. And that's the gospel. The gospel is that you and I can now have a relationship with our Father in heaven, the one who created us, the one that brought us into being, the one that formed us, the one that cares for us, the one that knows the numbers of hairs on our head. The gospel is that we can have a relationship with him. As we look through the Bible, we are looking at the gospel. But what does this word gospel mean? In its origins, it simply means good news. Does anybody have any good news here this morning? Anybody got some good news that they know about? I hope you have a little bit of good news today. If you don't, here's one. Jesus loves you. If nothing else in this world is going right for you today, there's a God that loves you and cares about you. That's good news. I hope you have some good news. The word is not unique to the early Christian church, though. It was not unique to the Jesus movement. It wasn't unique to the Jewish movement. One of the main ways that this phrase was used was as a military term or a royalty term. It brought with it this image of a soldier or a group of soldiers coming back from a battle or campaign proclaiming that they had won victory, that our king is the king. It was a word of strength. It was a word of hope. It was a word of salvation. It was a word of victory. It was saying that in the end, we have won. It was saying in the end, we now have peace. Most importantly, it was saying to the people around, to the countries around, to the nations around, and to the people within ear's reach, it was saying our God reigns. It's that image when you go back to the book of Isaiah in the 52nd chapter, where in the middle of proclaiming that God is going to rescue back his people from their exile, there's this poem that Isaiah writes. He says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news, who publishes peace, who bring good news out of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." And here's the thing, when we read the Gospels, when we see the people who are with Jesus, even those who are with him most, they get caught up in the military aspect of this word. They misunderstood the gospel or the good news that Jesus brought with them. And it's because they only looked at this word through this lens. And so often we see this kingdom mentality that is only for here in the gospel, in the gospel writer's eyes and the disciples' eyes. They see what's going on and they see Jesus coming in and they think, hey, we're gonna have another gospel here. We're going to have an earthly kingdom. We're going to have Jesus come and militarily take over. We're going to be free from the Romans. We're going to get to live at peace within our own city walls. We're going to get to set up a kingdom. We're going to have a great economy. We're going to be able to trade with other nations because we're the most powerful. But Jesus says no. Jesus said that isn't the fullest extent of the gospel that I have to give. He wants to give more than the gospels that this world has to offer. Because people had been coming, earthly rulers had been coming for years and years and years, from generations and generations past. Guys like David had passed away despite all of the military prowess he had. Guys like Solomon passed away even after all the earthly wisdom and the economic training that he had. Go down David's line time and time again. Go even in the last couple hundred years that these people were living in, and they had seen revolt upon revolt and freedom upon freedom of people promising peace that just wouldn't last. But Jesus comes in and he says, there's some good news coming. So the challenge here is to keep that image, to keep that picture, but let our understanding be transformed past the base of this and onto what Jesus truly brought. So what is our gospel? What is the gospel that is preached here? Because for those that looked on, the gospel would have ended when Jesus went on the cross. But here in the book of Galatians, we see them looking back from beyond the cross and, guess what, beyond the tomb, beyond Easter morning. And we see the gospel that comes. What is our gospel? It's laid out here a little bit in verse 3 and 4. It says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The gospel starts out with grace. Paul doesn't sugarcoat it here. He says, Christ gave us grace to rescue us from our sins. To rescue us from this present evil age. You see, the first thing that God offers is he offers grace. He offers forgiveness. He offers transformation. He offers us a calling. All of this from our previous state to this new place of peace. Do you hear that in there? Good news. It's a time of peace. A peace that comes only from Christ, who gave himself for our sins. That is the gospel. That we on our own had been subject to the habits of humanity. That we had chosen with our actions, with our thoughts, with our speech, and with our attitudes, in our hearts we had chosen separation from God. But because of his love, God didn't leave us alone. God didn't just discount us. Because of his love, God didn't leave us there. God the Father sent his son, Jesus. And Jesus came and he lived a perfect life and he died a death that was not earned by himself. But he was to be a sacrifice, an atonement, a substitution for the death that we earned. The gospel message didn't stop there, though. The gospel message is that Jesus did not stay dead. Instead, on the third day, when dawn broke, the chains of death broke with it. Jesus rose from the grave and is risen today. And there will be a day when Jesus will return and wipe every tear away, and there will be no more crying, no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. Because he's making all things new. There will be peace. Here's the thing. We promise that there will be peace, but we're also promised that the war has already been won. On this side of the cross, not only do we see it in our own lives, but all over, we can say that because of Jesus and because of Jesus' resurrection, that our God reigns. The gospel is that above all, over all, through all, despite all, our God reigns. Amen? Question becomes, are there other gospels? Because we see that in Paul's day, he wrestled with this fact that there were so many others that were trying to add on, that were trying to substitute, that were trying to twist, that were trying to say, no, this is the true gospel. We see that we need to go back to the gospel, and that when we go to the gospel, we recognize that there really is no other gospel. Paul says in verses 6 and 7, he says, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Some people are trying to throw you into confusion. They're trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. See, Paul is so surprised that they're turning to this wrong gospel because any perversion of the gospel is really no gospel at all. For Paul right now, all the things that were being added to this gospel prove that it really isn't good news. Two of the things, the biggest things that Paul is fighting against here is this idea first of this big word called Gnosticism. Pretty much this idea that you have to have this special knowledge, you have to have this special revelation to be able to truly be in relationship with God. That you had to be smart enough, intelligent enough, that you had to pass the test, that you had to be given this knowledge from God so that you could be in relationship with God. Paul says that's insane. That isn't good news. That isn't good news if you have to pass a test to earn a relationship with God, because guess what? Most of us aren't going to be able to pass it. Second thing that Paul fought against so often is that in many of the churches he started, there was this idea that in order to be a Christian, you had to enter this circle of identifying yourself with the practices of Judaism. And one of the ways that was most concerning to a Greek man was something that was a big roadblock to them, this practice of circumcision. And it was, in their culture, a very public thing, a very noticeable thing, and it was a stumbling block for so many people. It was a cement wall that they just couldn't get through. And so person after person was coming up against this and saying, I don't know if I can go there. And all this perversion of the gospel shifted away from who Jesus was to what you were willing to do. And Paul says that's no gospel at all. That's no gospel at all. When the responsibility of salvation is planted squarely on our shoulders, this doesn't become the gospel. When our salvation is placed squarely on the shoulders of who God is willing to disclose this special and secret information to, it's really no gospel at all. When we put God into this box of who he is only willing to save because of a certain ethnicity, that's really no gospel at all. And it's the exact thing that they had to speak out against. In 2 Peter, it tells us that God desires that none would perish, but that all would come to a saving knowledge of him. It isn't just for this special group. It isn't just for this one ethnicity. It isn't just for these people that only God would choose. But Christ offers himself so that all could know him. So that all could come into a relationship
with him. So all could be saved through him. And that is the gospel. What's seen very quickly is that the more layers that people add on apart from the gospel, the less it looks like good news. There's only one way that the gospel stands, and that's on the foundation of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians told the story long ago, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid. That is Jesus Christ. As Paul begins to dismantle this other gospel that has no foundation, he comes to the end here. And it becomes a challenge to us today. It's something that's actually going to take us into next week, because Paul ends this section saying, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? It says, if I were still trying to please people, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. You see, there's this question of whether the good news of the gospel has to be popular. Because for so many in Paul's day, and honestly for so many today, the news that our God reigns and not that I reign can be a hard pill to swallow. It's a challenge for each of us, because we want to be the king of our own castle. For a lot of us, we want to make our own way. We want to do our own thing. We want to do what we want, when we want, and we don't want anybody to tell us different. So the challenge is if we're going to accept the gospel. It's easy to say that we want God to rule and reign over all of that, but do we want God to rule and reign all of us? What Paul's going to go into next week is his personal story. And the fact that the gospel became real when his life was changed. And for each and every one of us here, we have an opportunity this morning and each week that we have a choice to make. Are we going to say that this is good news, that our God reigns? Are you going to make the decision today to allow Christ to reign in your life? If you want to make that decision, let me tell you, it is good news. It's the greatest news there's ever been. Our God reigns. And I invite you to make that decision as we sing the next song, as we take this time to reflect on what God has done, on what Christ has done for us in our lives. If you want to make the decision to say, you know what, God, reign in my life, I invite you to come up to talk to me, to grab one of our elders and talk to them about what that means, what that looks like. There is good news. Will you pray with me today? God, we pray that we will just know the good news that you reign. God, sometimes in our lives and in our everyday, it can be hard to say, you know what, I don't have control. I don't have the power. But God, you do. So God, I pray that as we reflect on who you are, as we take in what you've done for us, that God, you will allow our hearts to be ready to accept you as Lord over all of our lives. Because God, when that happens, you bring us into a relationship with you. God, we need you today and every day as we move, as we breathe, as we think. We need you to reign in our lives. Pray that you'll do that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.